You're listening to the Barakan Beat on Inter FM, 76.1 in Tokyo, 76.5 in Yokohama, channel C35 on Yusen, and you can get it on Sky Perfect TV's audio channel 2. And boom. Oops, wait a minute. All right, I've got You Know Who coming on in just a moment, but I'm going to start this part of the show with this. Little Feat, vintage 1973 from the album Dixie Chicken, that's Two Trains. And that was the first Little Feat song I ever heard. I was watching television innocently at home one night, and suddenly on this old show on the BBC used to have called the Old Grey Whistle Test, they played this track and they put some old footage of two ancient locomotives running into each other on the same track. And it was one of those experiences that you might term sort of life-altering, I think.
Yeah.
And
that's kind of like our career.
And here we have Paul Barrère and Fred Tackett sitting in the studio. And for both of you, Dixie Chicken was the first album of Little Feats that you were involved with, I believe, wasn't it?
Yes.
It certainly was.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, I remember I got asked to join the band right after they released Sailing Shoes. Because Roy Estrada decided he was splitting and he was going to go from Little Feet
back to the Mothers of Invention.
No, he actually went to Captain Beefheart.
Oh, really?
From Frank,
steady job.
From Frank to Lowell to Captain Beefheart. I mean, that's the guy.
Logical progression.
Yeah.
And at that point, they had finally decided that they could use a second guitarist, and they asked me to join up, and I immediately jumped to it.
So you were already aware of the group at that time?
Oh, yeah. I'd known about the group since their inception. They actually asked me to try out as the bass player. Ooh. Back when he was forming the band, and Lowell brought a bass up to my house up in Lower Canyon and said, "You play bass, don't you?" And I said, "No, Lowell." He says, "Well, it's just, you know, it's two less strings than a guitar."
And they're bigger.
Show up at this address tomorrow, you know, and I got down there, and Billy Payne handed me a chart for a song called Dance of the Nubile Virgin Slaves. Which was in about three different keys, and had about 14 different time signatures in it, and I failed miserably, but I left my name in the ashtray, and it was great, because 2 years later they called me up and asked me if I wanted to be a guitar player in the band.
Well, folklore hath it that the group was actually broken up once after Sailing Shoes.
Oh, yeah, well, I think every time we'd make a record, we'd break up.
Oh, really?
We were like that scene in, Search for the Holy Grail. Well, we built a, you know... We built the castle here and it sunk. So we built it again and it sunk. We built it again and it burned down. But we built it again. It was, you know, as Nick Nolte said in 48 Hours, a very stormy romance. But fun. You know, I mean, gosh, just, you know, when I hear a track like that, I think, gosh, it's been
26 years. It's incredible. You know? I know.
Some of the most, you know, insane times and incredible music and fun and, you know, I mean, it runs the whole gamut of emotions from heartbreak to elation, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right, for me, I mean, as I said, Two Trains was the first Little Feat track I ever heard, and it was on television, like, they just suddenly, and it was just one of those things, woo, boy, what happened?
A couple of years later, we did that show, The Old Grey Whistle Test.
So I gather, yeah. I came to Japan a year after that, so I missed you, and there were stories that one heard about the European tour with all the other Warner Brothers groups at the time.
Oh, yes.
With the Doobie Brothers.
The Doobie Brothers. We were on the
Central Station.
Yeah.
And
we were with the tour that had the Doobie Brothers and a band called Bonnaroo, which was an ex-Doobie Brother drummer who had put together a band, and they opened the show, and then we played, and then the Doobie Brothers would play.
Uh-huh.
I think that's how... No, the Tower Power would play after us. And then Doobie Brothers were on with Ronnie Montrose band, the Doobie Brothers, and they were closing the show, and Graham Funk. Central Station.
Right? Yeah, because the stories we were getting here were that Little Feat were going over so well in certain parts of Europe, and at any rate, that when the Doobie Brothers came on last, they were getting booed. I mean,
that happened just only once.
Oh, okay.
It was in London, unfortunately,
yeah.
For them.
Well,
predictable.
Yeah, but it was one of those memorable shows at the Old Rainbow Theater.
Right. Yes, the Old Rainbow, I remember it well. Yeah. You were brought into the group, according to the piece of paper that Tamotsu gave me the other day, as a rhythm guitar player, to begin with.
Pretty much, yeah. I was there to just kind of free up Lowell so he could play a lot of lead and sing and not have to worry about, you know, covering the rhythm parts and so forth.
Right. But did that change pretty much as soon as you got into the group?
Kind of. I kind of bogarted my way into playing more and more leads. Although, you know, for instance, on Dixie Chicken, when we got to doing On Your Way Down, he immediately handed the lead part to me, so I thought that was, you know. Lowell was not someone who really delineated between rhythm guitar and lead guitar.
Mm-hmm.
It was just you play guitar, and it's kind of like what Fred and I do now. It's we're both guitarists in the band. We both play leads, we both play rhythms. Sometimes we play leads together, sometimes we play rhythms together.
It's, exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
How did the two of you get into doing this thing, just the two of you? Is Little Feat still an entity now? Or?
Oh, sure.
It's a working band still, right?
Yeah, we have a big tour with the Neville Brothers this summer. It's really going to be a lot of fun.
Ooh, that sounds good.
We started doing this by what we're doing right now. We started going to radio stations, you know, to do promotions for Little Feat shows. And, and then we got called to come to one of these industry, the NAMM show, you know, for Epiphone guitars or somebody, and said, come, would you guys play our guitars? You know, and we did that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we started just doing, you know, a couple of shows, and now we got to come to Japan.
Yeah.
We can't even believe we're here, I tell you.
The whole flight over, we're going, can you believe this? Can you believe this? Because literally, I mean, this is something we would do when we're on the road, and we would go to radio stations to promote the shows. You know, it usually would be Fred and I, or Fred and I and Sean, or sometimes Billy would come too, and they would have a keyboard in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
But we just got to doing it so much, and we thought, well, heck, let's go play a couple of coffee houses around Los Angeles. And we did that, and we thought, this is a hoot, you know.
Mm.
Because what it does is it takes the Little Feat songs that everybody's familiar with from their CDs and everything, and it really changes them, because it really is, as opposed to having the spotlight on the band, all of a sudden now the spotlight is on the song.
Right.
Which is really neat, because it's a lot more intimate. There's just different arrangements that you have to do when it's only two guitars, and mm-hmm. it makes it, you know, kind of different, yet still the same, but
mm-hmm.
you know, if you're itching for a Little Feat fix, it'll cure you for a bit.
Well, now we're on the subject, let's get the two of you to play us a song.
Okay.
I gather you've been rehearsing a whole bunch of oldies for this tour too, but what do you want to start with?
Let's do Down on the Farm, what do you think?
Okay, that sounds a good
idea.
All right.
Yeah, my room said ain't true, ain't true, oh, ain't true.
Hey, okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Well, that's a good way to publicize some show.
It is.
I hope so.
These two guys, by the way, in case you haven't been listening to this show for about the last month and a half or so, are playing at the Star Pines Cafe in Kichijoji today at 3 this afternoon, and at 7 o'clock tonight, two performances. That's Paul Barrere and Fred Tackett from Little Feet. Fred.
Yes, sir.
You were always, to me, during the 70s, the guy that played on the Little Feet records, although you weren't actually a member of the band.
Mm-hmm.
Now you are actually a member of the band. In those days, what else were you doing apart from playing on Little Feet records?
When I first came to Los Angeles to work with a songwriter named Jimmy Webb, who wrote MacArthur Park and hundreds and hundreds of great songs, and it was in 1967, the Summer of Love, and he had this huge mansion in Hollywood, and he would come downstairs and I was there, this whole rock and roll band lived in this giant mansion, and I came downstairs one time, and Lowell George was sitting in the middle of the floor playing a sitar, and I was fascinated. I went up and started talking to him about it, and that was the only instrument he played, and that was before Little Feet, and we got to be real good friends, and so I was working with Jimmy Webb during the time that Little Feet got started, and then I did a lot of session work during the 70s and stuff like that.
So you're playing studios a lot.
Yeah, I worked with Boss Gags on the Silk Degrees record and all those Toto guys out there I see on the poster out there in the hallway.
Right.
And, yeah, David Page and all those guys. So, yeah, I was working with Boz a little bit, and I ended up working with Bob Dylan right after Lowell died.
Uh-huh.
And eventually got to join the band full-time.
Right, which is about Billy, 10 years later.
Yeah, Billy Payne and I were working with Bob Seger on the road, and when Billy asked me to get back with the whole deal again.
Oh, right.
Yeah, and I'm glad I did. It's a lot more fun than doing session work, I guarantee you.
Yeah, really.
Although I've had a lot of fun doing that, too.
Well, you were saying, Paul, just now that you're going to be going out on tour with the Neville Brothers this summer. I was just thinking, you guys may have more of a sort of second-line feel to the rhythm section than they do these days.
I don't know.
I'll tell you.
Depends on the song.
Yeah, they're pretty funny.
They can get it rocking.
I'll tell you.
Oh, yeah, they're a great
group.
You
know, I mean, they're the real deal when it comes to, you know, that whole New Orleans thing and Spy Boys and, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, they can even tell you what Ico Ico means, you know.
Right. Not on daytime radio, I think.
Yeah,
maybe.
I think not. Yeah. You know, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. We played shows with them before, and to actually be together for a whole summer is going to be just great. I mean, it runs from July 1st to August 22nd, so
right.
It's probably 30, 40 shows we're going to be doing.
All over the States.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Little Feet was, to all intents and purposes, an L.A. band, right? Although I know Kenny Gradney, isn't it? Is he from New Orleans or not?
Kenny was born
in New Orleans, and Sam was born in Colfax, Louisiana, but both of them were raised in Los Angeles. Everybody was really, well, not everybody, but Kenny and Sam and myself and Lowell were all raised in Los Angeles.
Right.
Billy was raised in Central California,
mm-hmm.
Ventura and Santa Maria. And then, of course, Richie comes from Iowa, but mm-hmm. like you said, as soon as he turned 18, he moved to Los Angeles.
But the group always had this really southern kind of vibe about it. Where did that come from?
Southern California. No.
Yeah, yeah. We have blues one, records.
Yeah,
yeah,
I think it comes, you know, the band is always, you know, it's funny that a few years ago there was this whole return to roots music, you know, what
right.
everybody was calling roots music and so forth. And when Little Feet started, basically, I mean, Lowell's whole premise was he wanted to play as many varieties of music as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But the real rootsy kind of stuff, the rhythm and blues and the blues aspects and so forth, really came from that whole area of the South, and that's where we got that whole, you know, southern label. You know, people were likening us to, I don't know why, Leonard Skinner things.
Kind of a slightly different vibe there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We were a different kind of southern band.
Mm-hmm.
We're not that southern.
Right. More like the Allman Brothers.
Oh, right. That's another. Yes.
Yeah.
Takes you back a bit, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Although, I saw Greg Allman here in town, when is it, last year or something? He's still singing really great.
Oh, he's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did a tour with him a few years ago. It was just real, like, a lot of fun. And, Greg's a great talent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they still go into the Beacon Theater in New York City and sell out 2 weeks worth of shows.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, okay. Yeah. Right. When Lowell, what happened to Lowell towards the end of the 70s? I remember when Time Loves a Hero came out, he had very few songs on it. His presence on the album was very, almost non-existent. Was it just a very bad drug problem, or was
he was real sick too?
He was very sick. He was,
Hepatitis or something like that. Mononucleosis.
Yeah, mononucleosis, hepatitis. He had ruptured a disc in his back on his motorcycle. He was in and out of the hospital.
All during that time.
Yeah, and it was just very hard for him to get out and work, and also at that point he was like the reluctant touring guy. I mean. He didn't really like to go out on the road. As a matter of fact, if he was still around today with the technology that we have today with computers and recording on hard disk and being able to cut and paste edits.
You'd never see him.
Yeah, we've
never see him.
He used to edit cassettes, believe it or not. I mean, he would take a cassette and pull the tape out and, cut it in, wherever he felt like it and tape it back together and bring it to you and go, okay, figure this out.
Yeah, he'd give it to me and say, make it normal. Do an arrangement for the band, make it normal. I say, Lowell, you've got like a 9/16 bar here. What do you want to do? He said, make it normal.
Yeah, so the whole situation was we needed to put out a record, and Time Loves a Hero was there. Actually, there was a lot of songs that I had written for that record, and Billy had written a couple, and Warner Brothers wanted a record, so, Lowell said, go ahead, make the record, I'll work on it, it's not a problem, but I'm ill, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And because once the record came out, he was swinging with it. He was,
mm-hmm.
out there playing on the songs and just,
oh, yeah. No, it was just the fact that he was down on his back. I remember going to the hospital and visiting him.
Yeah.
I played mandocello on the Time Was a Hero.
That's right.
Mandocello?
Yeah.
And pencil.
Yeah,
pencil
like a big old mandolin playing all those.
All right.
All that kind of stuff. Yeah, I remember seeing Lowell in the hospital all the time, going by and checking him out and stuff. So he was like on his back. Otherwise, he would have been there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. And then it evolved into, finally down on the farm. We were right in the middle of that project.
Right.
And things were actually pretty good. There was a little friction between Lowell and Billy at that point, but it wasn't really bad. And then Lowell went out on the road.
Yeah, we were doing a solo album all during that time, too.
Right. Lowell had Thanks, I'll Eat It Here.
Right.
And he had to tour behind that, and then, fortunately, he never came back from that tour.
So that was very sudden?
Yeah.
Nobody was expecting anything like that to happen.
No, I don't know.
It's kind of funny because, it's like someone told him. I remember him coming and saying that at Warner Brothers, they had a pool going on when he was going to, die. This is when he was alive.
Oh, my God.
He told me about that when we were getting ready to go out on that tour, which he didn't really want to go on, but he had to do it. And we were talking after he died. It's like the road manager was having a room right next to him. His wife was with him, in the room when he died, and they were, doing everything to try to keep it. And so they were aware that something could happen, and they were, watching him like a hawk. And he still, even after he died, everybody was kind of going, you didn't expect it, you didn't expect it to happen, even though you did expect it to happen, as strange as that sounds, it still was a surprise, even when it happened. It was like, we were all, pretty crazy. And
he was 50, 60 pounds overweight. He was, he was putting an enormous strain on his heart.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Nightly. And,
had bronchitis.
Yeah, bronchitis, he was dipping heavily into the pharmacology.
Right.
On the tour.
Mm-hmm. In fact, the thing that actually killed him was the reaction between taking antihistamines for the bronchitis and Cavassier, the alcohol.
Grinding.
They always tell you, don't drink when you take the antihistamines. But he was doing so much different things that didn't even occur to him.
Yeah.
And that's what actually did it. That was what the actual boom stopped the heart.
And did it just seem at the time that there was just no way that you could keep Little Feet going?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Little Feet had actually broken up.
Yeah.
Oh, it had?
Yeah.
But because of Lowell doing his solo album?
Not really for that reason. There was philosophical differences between Billy and myself, who were actually thinking about starting a band.
Uh-huh.
Because we had been doing some touring and working with Nicolette, and the band that we had kind of put together was
Nicolette Larson.
Nicolette Larson.
Uh-huh.
Was a swinging group. It had Bob Glob on bass and Rick Slosser on drums.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were actually thinking about doing a band with Craig Fuller. Strange but true.
Uh-huh.
Back then. And,
strange but true, because he is the vocalist, or no, he, was the vocalist.
He became the vocalist for Little Feet eventually.
Right.
And so, yeah, the philosophical differences between mainly Billy and Lowell at that point had really strained the relationship of the band.
Billy wanted to get into producing, right, along with it. And yeah. Lowell didn't want to give any of that up. He wanted to be the, you know, producer.
Right.
Yeah. But, as, you know, as was the case with so many of the Little Feet breakups, when Lowell was on the road, he was on the phone to me and to Richie and to Sam and to Kenny and saying, don't go anywhere, don't do anything. When I get back, you know, we'll finish down on the farm and we'll tour and everything will be swell. And, which is kind of like his modus operandi for everything. You know, as soon as anything started to go towards the circular file, you know, he would somehow find a way to, you know, resurrect it and make it happen.
Uh-huh, right. So, eventually, after a break of, what, nearly 10 years, I guess,
yeah,
the band got together again. Again, was there any particular stimulus that started that in motion?
It was an impromptu jam session.
Uh-huh.
Because, really, everybody was working. Billy was playing with everybody under the sun, from Linda Ronstadt to James Taylor to, you know, Bob Seger. Richie was playing with, he had just finished a tour with Joan Armatrading, and he was working with Robert Plant. Sam Clayton had landed the cushiest job in show business. He was one of the conga players with Jimmy Buffett.
Still got to be kicking himself for quitting that
one. It was like, oh yeah, okay, we'll work the summer and then sit back the rest of the year.
Sipping margaritas, yeah.
And Kenny Gradney was playing with a bunch of different folks, and the last organization he played with was Bob Weir and Billy Cobham, Bobby and the Midnights.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And I was doing the Blues Busters and solo records and playing the blues chitlin circuit in the States. And
right, not to mention Tokyo.
Oh, yeah, we made Tokyo, that's true. So we really had no plans of putting the band back together, but we did get together to do this jam session at the request of rehearsal studio in Los Angeles that we used to rehearse at a lot, and they completely redid the studio and had a lot of memorabilia from Little Feet tours and so forth up. And it was just fun. We got together and we played the stuff, and it was just fun. So it wasn't like we said, okay, we're going to start the band right then and there, but we said, let's get together and jam again. And we did it like a couple more times, and that's when Billy and I started talking seriously about putting the band back together.
Right. These days, how do you find your audiences? I mean, there must be people who are young enough that they don't know the original Little Feet records. I mean, up to
pre-1979.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's definitely people that have never heard the old stuff. I mean, they have heard it later, but they came to the band through Let It Roll and all that.
Right.
Are under the radar now. I mean, we're finding some very young kids coming to the shows from hearing Under the Radar who now, you know, I got to go back 15 more records. So it's like...
Right.
And, yeah, they find it very interesting. There seems to be, especially in the States, a lot of youngsters are getting more and more into older rock and roll music. You know, it's sort of like what we would do when we, you know, we'd hear the Stones or somebody do a blues tune.
Right, right.
And we would dig back and find, oh, that was Muddy, oh, that was Howlin' Wolf, oh, that was, you know, it's like, so, you know, you see that whole thing of, you know, people really kind of, you know, investigating the sources for all this stuff.
Well, that's good to hear that people are doing that, because when you live in Tokyo, somehow, I mean, there are a few people probably doing that, but you don't really get much of a feel for that sort of a progression.
You know, we have this this incredible website in the States, well, actually all worldwide, that through it there's a Hoi Hoi Digest, which is like a daily newsletter.
And so Little Feet website.
Little Feet does, yeah.
Oh, really?
www.littlefeet.net. And I'm constantly answering letters from young kids there who are, you know, just fascinated with the band and so forth. And you know, they've either gotten turned on to us through Dave Matthews or Fish or something like that, which, you know, I find is just fantastic.
Mm.
So they are out there and they're looking. They're really, you know, I think the whole internet thing is really going to, you know, because at a push of a button, you can do these searches that, you know, bring up tons of history.
A funny thing happened to me just the other day. I got an email from a high school buddy who I hadn't seen or spoken to for 30 years. And the reason he sent me the email was, I've been doing an internet radio show for about a year, and although it's stopped now, that the stuff is still there on the net for anybody to listen to any of them they want to. And this guy, he's involved in some computer programming now, and he just put real audio on his machine, and he was searching for some good music, so he did a search on Little Feet. And up came my internet show, because I'd played some of your stuff on the air.
Oh, great.
And he said, good Lord, can it be the same guy after all these 30 years? And he sent me an email, and it was. So we've been mailing each other now for a while.
Yeah, that's great. That's what's really great about it.
Actually, I'm going to send him a copy of this.
Oh, great. Yeah, good.
He'll be thrilled.
Great.
Make him download it. No.
So let's give him another song to listen to. What are you going to do this time, guys?
What shall we do?
I don't know.
Do you have, for example, have you rehearsed Skin It Back?
No.
No, okay.
Is that like a request?
No, I mean, it's one of your songs that you wrote back in the early days that I particularly liked, but that's okay. You'd play anything that you do have rehearsed.
You'd get a real guitar, wouldn't you, man?
Yeah. If we could take...
It's out in the hall.
I could retune this one.
Trust me to come up with the awkward requests.
This will be interesting. That's cool.
We've done this before, haven't we?
Oh, yeah, we've many times.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, go for it, guys. real pros taking real requests.
Real requests and real risks on the radio.
Yeah, really.
And they work
Sunday
without a net.
Cold sweat.
That's what makes entertaining so much fun, though. Put you on the spot, okay.
Which is good, because when we came in through customs, the guy looked at Paul's form and said, "You're an entertainer." And Paul said, "I hope so." We're in a whole lot of trouble.
Will you be taking requests at the gig today?
We got about 27, 28 songs that we've prepared.
If we're crazy, probably will. Yeah.
Have you brought your trumpet, Fred?
I didn't bring the trumpet. No, I didn't bring the trumpet. Trumpet sounds weird when we have an acoustic guitar and trumpet.
I was wondering about that.
It's real strange. And we play some strange things, but that one's... We've done it before.
Yeah, we have done it.
We did that.
Guitar and trumpet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We had a friend of ours who had a girlfriend, and he wanted to, like, have us stand outside her window and play while he, like, you know...
But he paid well.
Yeah.
Right, this does have a connection. Okay. But if you haven't brought your trumpet, you have brought a mandolin.
We did, haven't you?
Yes. Actually, we can't let you go without getting one song on the mandolin,
I think. Well, let me get it out here.
Yeah.
What are you going to do on the mandolin, Paul?
You're going to have to retune your guitar again. Sorry. Doing all the wrong things here.
That's all right. You know, that's part of the acoustic scene, though. It's like that old folk music thing. It's like you have to sit in tune, you know, and talk to the audience while you're tuning. Go, how does this sound?
Oh, that's a beautiful looking mandolin.
Yeah, I love this guy. It's another Epiphone.
A plug for your sponsors.
My very favorite Little Feat song. As a matter of fact, when I got asked to join the band, this isn't the song that I had to learn to join the
Thank
band.
God, but, yeah. I was trying to figure out how I'm going to play.
But this was my very favorite Little Feat song when I first heard it.
So this is circa 1973, or even earlier, presumably. Early. What is it, Willing? No?
Put on the still sailing.
Yeah, that's one of my all-time favorite Little Feet songs too, Sailing Shoes, by Paul Barrère and Fred Tackett, who've very kindly come and done this session and had a little chat with me as well.
Pleasure.
Yeah.
And don't forget, everybody, if you didn't know yet, or if you tuned in halfway through the show or whatever, these guys are playing the Star Pines Cafe Kichijoji this afternoon at 3, and then again this evening at 7 o'clock. So nice they had to do it twice.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very, very much for coming down.
Thank you.
It's been a real pleasure.
All right.
Our pleasure.
Well, isn't that all what radio is about?